morning, everyone, and welcome once again to a very special Sunrise Sunday call this morning. I'm so happy that you're all here with us on our fifth anniversary call today, which is February 23rd. And in this space where we all work together to find love and peace and compassion as we share with one another in a safe space that's filled with love while we work to heal ourselves and our families. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And that has so much meaning for me today on our fifth anniversary. I am so super delighted to reintroduce a dear friend and Hollywood veteran who's here with us today, Tina Lifford. She has played over 100 characters in her long, long, long career, including most notably the vivacious Aunt Vi on the critically acclaimed television series Queen Sugar. Tina has starred opposite Hollywood greats, including Clint Eastwood, Jennifer Lopez, Bruce Willis, and so many more. She is also the author of The Little Book of Big Lies, which was released by HarperCollins and chosen by Forbes.com as a must read. And I really do say it is a must read. And she's the architect behind the Inner Fitness Project. She is a strategist, a leader, a wise soul, and she brings her personal experience and respect for all humans to engage people in the process of internal transformation, healing, and resilience building. She authors and fosters the idea that we can all live well and thrive. And her new book, which is called The Inner Fitness Revolution, A Roadmap to Your Freedom and Joy, is coming out in just a few weeks on March 11th. And I am so excited to support that. I cannot wait. And I have lived this journey with Tina Lifford over the past several years. And I'm here to be a witness to that. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. It's been an incredible 5-year journey. And so, first, let me say welcome, Tina. So happy you're here with us this morning. I know it is really early out there in California. You're beautiful, and I'm happy you're here.
I'm happy to be here as well. You talk about, the journey that Sunrise has taken. It's been lovely being able to witness the journey that Sunrise has taken, because I get to see it in you, and it's very exciting and inspiring.
Thank you. And I want to get to some of the principles that you have taught me. And I want to just first take a quick look back as I dial back exactly 5 years ago today, February 23rd, 2020. Our very first call was called Recognizing Signs of Trouble. And we had Dr. Linda McGee here, who's a dear friend and therapist that I've known since Kyle, who's now 22, was 4. And in that call, what's so interesting, I was looking back at my notes from that call 5 years ago. And during that call, the three key takeaways from Dr. Linda were around the words that we always share with the Serenity Prayer. The first one was to accept the child in front of you and their dreams. The second one was to have courage to reconcile the child of our dreams with the child of our reality. And that takes a lot of courage and a lot of understanding and patience. And then the third one was to have wisdom to trust our instincts. And so if there's signs, any sort of signs of trouble, to really pause and to have wisdom to breathe and learn to respond in a different way with radical acceptance and radical love. So as I looked back on that, I thought, how incredibly awesome is that? That those three words came out in our very first call, and I have shared them every single week since then. And I wear it around my neck. That serenity prayer, which is so important to have acceptance, not only of others, but ourselves, and then courage to change ourselves and to ask those tough questions of ourselves, which you do so beautifully for me and so many others, and then learn to have wisdom. And so that was 2020. Then in 2021, Oprah Winfrey launched the Sunrise Project podcast on the Oprah Winfrey Podcast Network, which was also incredible. Then in 2022, we were nominated for an NAACP Image Award. Didn't win, but it was a win just being there. And as I watched it last night on BET, I was smiling the whole time, thinking what an incredible experience that was. And then to lose to a dear friend, Kim Whitley, for Two Funny Mamas with her and Sherri Shepherd was also beautiful because she's such an incredible spirit and friend. And then fast forward to today, after 5 years, and I look at Kyle, who is now 22, who is the reason this Sunrise Project call was born. He is healthy and living in Colorado, and I'm blessed that he's here and living his life and walking his journey. And then Christopher, who's now 19, is in college and living his life. And so that has been a massive transformation. And I think, Tina, as I look back at our work together over the past several years, what I have enjoyed and what I've learned so much is the power of acceptance and the power of reflection and the power of really giving our lives over. It's your first practice in the 14 practices is turning my life over to a force greater than me that loves me and responds to my heart. So I want to just pause there and give gratitude to you and to so many people who have been with me on this journey. Kelly Chapman was our very first executive director and helped create the Sunrise Project from the beginning. Tiara Yakini, who I see on here, was a part of Sunrise for many years, and I'm so grateful to both of you. Dee Sapp, who's our current executive director, and Dr. Vicki Johnson, who is one of my spiritual mentors and big sisters, who's also part of Sunrise, and so many more. So I want to pause there because I feel like I'm talking a lot. So I want to just have I want to stay in a space of gratitude this morning and have a conversation about transition and change and what you always talk about, which is transitioning from the surviving self, which is 100,000% where I was 5 years ago, just trying to survive every day, trying to get out of bed every day, trying to not scream and holler at my children every day, which I was doing, to where I am now, which is a complete 180. Still not perfect, but it's a beautiful transition, starting with giving my life over, turning my life over to a force greater than myself. So I want to pause there and just ask you, as you think about what I said, what comes to mind for you?
Well, I think the thing that I love is that in that first meeting, if I'm understanding correctly, in the first Sunrise meeting, the work and the focus that Dr. McGee offered was talking about the child in front of you being your children, right? Being
That's
the
right.
actual child that you have birthed and that, is the reason that that one would choose to be a part of Sunrise, right? And the challenges. But every time I've heard you say that, what I hear in my mind and see in my mind is the child in front of you, first and foremost, being you,
That's right.
each one of the people in on this call, because it is that child
That's right.
that is parenting. It is that child that is experiencing whatever this newly birthed child, no matter how old the child is, right? The birthed child is oftentimes a mirror and reflection of the child that did or did not get the kind of attention necessary.
That's right.
And so every time you speak about Sunrise, right? I am, because I certainly have seen you rise in the 3 years that we've been working together, in a coaching capacity. I've certainly watched you rise into yourself. So sunrise is the opportunity for everyone on this call, everyone in your community, to understand the importance and power of giving yourself as much attention as we, are used to giving to our physical body and to our families, because the time that you give to yourself will refine you as a human being. It will help you resolve the unconscious parts of your own experience. And in doing that, you become a powerful leader of a family.
That's right. I love that. And what you've done for me has been helping me. You often say, I need you to get curious with that. Why is it that you have a hard time talking with your children? Or why is it that, your children don't really communicate? Well, it's learned behavior that they've learned from me, which is also now I'm realizing has been transferred down for generations
That's
of
right.
putting on the happy face and just not talking about it. And so that paradigm shift is also powerful. And I want to just double click on the focusing on self, because our first year or two, it was all about, okay, what do we do if this person's smoking marijuana or weed or other drugs in the home or whatever? It's always about the other person. And we started transitioning to doing a lot of the focus on self and helping ourselves, I think a lot because of what we've learned via you and many others who talk about the importance of giving ourselves to ourselves before we give ourselves away and before we try to help others, we have to help ourselves. So I love that. I want to talk about the inner fitness work that you do and how important that is and how it is transformational. And I can speak from experience, but I would love for you to share more about inner fitness, what it's about, and how people can utilize those tools.
Well, if I had a poster child, you would be it. And I say that, that's sincere. I mean, it's been exciting to watch you, and here's the most important statement: do the work. It's been exciting to watch you do the work, because and yet, at the Inner Fitness Project, that's what keeps me getting up and excited and wanting to pour in, because I see in real time what happens when the tools, effective tools, meet interested and willing hearts, right? You can be interested and not necessarily willing, but if you're interested, it means that there is a desire for more of yourself, more of your life. And sometimes interest is just enough to put us in proximity with a possibility, a path, a tool that then can ignite willingness, And because you're so beautifully transparent, I assume that your community is aware of the journey that you've been on. But I'll tell you, I was talking to a friend last night who is considered a really powerful and exceptional therapist, right? And she became my client for inner fitness or through inner fitness, probably about 12 to 13 years ago. And what she said last night was that she knows that she is a great therapist. But what she also knows is that it wasn't until she started paying attention to her inner fitness that she was leaving one of the most important questions unasked when it comes to her clients. And so I'm going to share with you all the question that she says she wished as a therapist she had asked years ago, started asking years ago. And the question was, what is the lie that you are carrying that is shaping your life? Because people come in to her office, people walk in their lives, right? Feeling, however, broken, disconnected, lonely, whatever malady, whatever dis-ease you could bring to mind, it is likely connected to a perception of self that is based upon a lie. You know, those lies get told to us in so many subtle ways in our society. But the result of those lies are things like, I'm not good enough. Nobody cares. My value is in what I do. My value is in how I take care of others. That thing that, you know, the family doesn't talk about has wound up actually having a home. The secrecy has a
That's right.
home inside
That's
of
right.
my being. Now
Mm-hmm.
it is shaping my truth, my ability to
That's
tell it,
right.
right?
That's right. And that's a really hard question, Tina, because you asked me that a year ago and 2 years ago and 3 years ago. And every time you asked it, it was really tough to look at that. At first, I couldn't even answer the question. I was like, what do you mean? I don't lie about things. What are you talking about? And that was my gut reaction because lying is a really big trigger for me. And yet what I worked through, the lie for me was I can just put on a happy face and everything will be okay. But there was such unresolved, very deep hurt from all the way back to high school. And if I'm really honest, even junior high school, and if I'm really honest, even third grade. And that has continued over time with this, what I learned is just not to talk about it. And so, even within my own personal life, most recent personal life, for many years, didn't talk about it. It was just easier not to talk about it and create a habit of work, being a workaholic, which is an addiction also, just like drinking, just like smoking, just like it's an addiction. And the addiction was because I didn't want to deal with it. Much
And
easier to sit at my computer.
anytime we are in avoidance,
That's right.
we are in the behavior of addiction. You
That's
know,
right.
anytime we are doing what we do to avoid,
Yeah.
we are at risk
That's
of
right.
using that behavior in an addictive way.
And that's the thing. And so that's the acknowledgement of that. And then those tough questions, answering the question, like you said, your therapist friend asked the question, what is the lie that we're living? And then also you asked some questions about what are the things you need to forgive yourself for? That was also, and I, if you could help me with that one, because that one was also a stumper for me. Like, what are you talking about? Can you share more about that piece? Because first, the lie, I remember you saying the lie has to be acknowledged first, right? And that lie has to be acknowledged. And then there's reasons behind why we're not telling the truth. And I'm just trying to go back in my memory of all the different layers.
And you're doing a great job. And when it comes to the lie can be defined in a few ways. It could be the lie of the overcompensated secret, You can be lying when you, I mean, we all, every single time we tell ourselves that we're not good enough or we are smaller than whatever the problem is, that's another form of lying. And any lie that we carry is an attack against our wholeness. It's an attack against our self. And if we are attacking our self, then we are attacking our sense of possibility in our lives. And that's why, I wrote the little book of big lies, because lies show up in so many, dressed up in so many very, very subtle garments and costumes, right? So we've talked about the lie, and you were saying, talk about if I tell myself the truth. And I'll tell you all, and I really, just so you know, ladies, I wish that I could see all of your faces, but I'm so open to this being a conversation. So if it's okay, Kelly, before I talk about, forgiving ourselves, I'd love to just see if there's anyone in the room who wants to say anything about, the lie, and whether or not you need any clarification around what I'm saying or talking about when I talk about that lie that has the ability to distort us and to disconnect us from ourselves. So if there's anyone who wants to say anything, please unmute yourself and go for it.
Yes, absolutely. If you're on your phone, you can hit star six if that's easier to come off of mute.
This
Feel
is
free.
Taj.
Hi, Tosh.
Hi, how you ladies doing?
Good.
Hi, Miss Tina. Pleasure to see you again. Fantastic. Hi, Taj. Hi. I believe one of my greatest lies is that mine is big because of identity, because I never knew who my father was. So I feel like I'm never kind of can complete myself or know who I am. And I feel like that's something that I need to be, as we say, complete and define who we are. But on the journey that I'm on right now, I'm trying to unlearn that thing because I feel when I listen to the ladies in this room, the circles that I'm in, I hear things that say that I don't necessarily have to have that in order to understand who I am. Because I can define, I ultimately own who I am and who I can become, but it's something in the back of my head that continues to tell me that I will never be complete because I never will know that answer because my mom is no longer here and I never know who he was. So that's the biggest thing that I carry, which always in turn tell me that I'll always be alone and I will never be complete. Oh, Taj, I thank you so much for unmuting and sharing that, because there's so much there that I would love to respond to. So thank you. First and foremost, and you don't, this will be a dialogue, so you can unmute yourself. But what Tasha spoke about really speaks to this thing that we do to ourselves. We have an experience, and whatever the experience is that leaves us feeling broken, it winds up becoming our identity. And we begin to relate to the world around us based upon this negative view about ourselves, this challenge, this pain. And the more we do that, the bigger that thing becomes, the smaller we become. And so the first thing that we want to know, or just be aware of and see is that the lie or anything that feels bigger than us is harboring a lie of some sort. And it becomes critical for us to tell ourselves, or at least acknowledge for ourselves, that this is happening, that this is, there must be a lie of some sort present, because everything feels bigger than you, right? But now, Taj, I encourage you to have a piece of paper right this moment,
I have plenty.
because what you have done, and I don't say this in any sort of blaming kind of way, and I've got a dog sitting here who I think is telling me he has to go to the bathroom, so I'm going to let you all walk with me for a sec. But what you want to do, or what I encourage you to recognize, is that you have defined yourself in terms of your DNA, but who you are is more than that. And let me explain. Yes, you had a father and a mother and an egg and a sperm, and they came together. But that was a delivery system for who you are and for your purpose on the planet. And so I encourage you to begin to play with this acronym CREW, CREWW. And that stands for innately creative, resilient, empowered to choose how you respond to life, whole and worthy. That's your identity. And that identity is far bigger than who your mother or your father were. You have a purpose, and the creative nature of you, and the resilience of you, and your ability to choose how you respond to everything, including not having a, not being aware of who your father was. But you could take that and go, well, I don't know who that human father was, but I know that there was a father much greater, because I'm here. Because I'm birthed, because out of the chance of being born a human, one in 400 trillion. And here you are. And so all of that pain that you were carrying because you don't know your biological father's name, I encourage you to begin to interrupt that narrative with, and I am innately creative, resilient, empowered to choose how I respond to this, whole and worthy. And if you make space for a more expanded idea of yourself, you will move from surviving, which is what Kelly talked about earlier, and you will make space for who you are. You've got this whole other range inside of you, the thriving and the infinite self. You are innately whole and worthy. But if you only focus on surviving this hurt that you have glommed onto, and I say that with all respect, but that's what you've done. That's exactly what you've done. And every time you have the opportunity to let it go, you pick it back up real quick. And so if you want to expand into more of who you are, then you're going to have to sit in your observer's chair and begin to see how quickly you want to pick up that lie, how quickly you want to identify with that lie, how quickly you use the lie to beat yourself up and to prove that you're not good enough, and on and on and on. Just start to be aware of that, and you will have a breakthrough that will help you or position you to make other choices, see other things. And what's beautiful about, what happens when we share is Taj is over here, and I'm sure that some of you in the room with compassion, are thinking, well, I don't know that that would bother me to the degree that it seems to be bothering Taj, but we all have that lie, some lie that is as much a lie as this one, and that we are carrying and holding close and picking up and, and protecting even, when someone is willing to let you, to give you advice that elevates you in the moment, and you feel, oh, that makes sense. And yeah, and that feels empowering. And then we watch ourselves literally throw that lie away. The moment our history, our habit of self starts to play. Oh, this is how I know myself. I can't know myself as happy. So let's just throw anything away that is the path to happiness, because this is how I know myself.
Thank you so much. That was very meaningful for me right now in this day and time. I appreciate you. Yes.
Absolutely. Me too. As you and I want, I'm would love, if anyone else wants to share, please feel free to come off of mute. As you and Taj were talking, I was reminded about a conversation a few years ago about a sore that was on my dog that would not heal. And we kept getting it stitched and kept putting medication on it and thought it was an external sore, but it would come back a few weeks later. It turns out she had an abscessed tooth or teeth that was causing the sore to come from the inside out. And I so distinctly remember, as you were talking with Taj just now, about how our conversation was about this metaphor for Gigi's abscessed tooth and this deep, deep wound that was under the skin, under the surface, couldn't see it, couldn't fix it. And it was a metaphor for my whole life. Because, and what I heard you just share with Taj, it's like there's this deep-seated pain that doesn't have to be the narrative. It needs to get healed. But it's a pain that I think about, pain with my mom, pain with other family members, pain with myself that had never been discussed. And so the lie was there's this deep, deep wound that was never, ever, ever dealt with. And it was just easier putting a topical solution over it, putting the band-aid on and never dealing with it. And so that was the message that my children learned. We don't talk about things. We just put the band-aid on and we just keep moving. And so it was powerful what you shared with Taj. And I see so many hands up. I want to start with Tracy. Feel free And thank you, Tosh, for
Good
that.
morning,
Thank you. Good
everyone.
morning.
Thank you. I'm here taking notes, and I just want to say, as a therapist, there's a lot of things that I grabbed. Number one, it was definitely a breakthrough moment. Number two, Tina literally got up to walk while she was talking, literally letting Taj know, like, you got to get up and walk and get it out. But when you drop it and you don't pick it back up, and that's the action part, because this is the norm for you. So it's been sitting with her for so long. So you got to get up and do the fitness work, which was on the inside. And it was, as a therapist, oftentimes people come back in and they say the same things over and over again because it's just our space and our time. But when it's time to get up and walk, just remember, Taj, it's not going to happen overnight, but try your best not to pick it up, because the norm is normal. And people around you, that's the freeing part. Everybody's like, I'm free, because you're a whole new person. So thank you. Thank you both. That's beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Thank you, Tracy. And it looks like Dee, you have your hand up too.
Yes, I want to go back to something that Tina said earlier about the lie you're carrying and Kelly, the response you gave her. Tina, can you speak a little bit about when you've identified what that lie is, and it's tied to when your truth is tied to a lie that someone else is still perpetuating? Because a lot of times you ask the question of why won't we tell ourselves the truth, or why won't we tell the truth? And often it's because it's tied to someone else, like your story, that action, that memory. And when the other person or people aren't willing to share in the work of doing that, how are you able to get past that? So let me give an example. I know someone who wrote a book, and usually this happens quite a bit when people decide to do a tell-all book or something, and the people that they reference in the book get upset because that's not the way they saw the situation. And then there's shame that's tied to it. And I see, I've not gone so far as to write a book, but I do see how that's very limiting when your truth, well, what you perceive as the truth, and that lie that you keep telling yourself is tied to other people. So can you speak to how to navigate that, to peel back the layers of getting, putting away the lie and walking in the truth?
So Kelly was talking about one of the most important things that happened for her. And Kelly, you'll tell me if I am stating this accurately, but that acknowledging things, acknowledging the truth, right? And ultimately, the work of inner fitness is the work of self-awareness. And self-awareness comes from beginning to acknowledge and name things. And there's that old saying that you come into this world alone and you leave it alone. And I find that such a powerful and axiom that actually has a lot of guidance in it. Because no matter how many people populate your life, you have a responsibility to the being that you are, the soul, the spirit. You don't know the work that you have come to do unless you follow the lead of yourself. And so being in relationship, in healthy relationship with yourself becomes primary, because it is through a healthy self. Now let me define self. It is through a healthy self. Your self is shaped by your thoughts, your feelings, your beliefs, and they drive your actions and reactions. So being in healthy relationship with your thoughts, your feelings, and your beliefs allows you to act more consciously, to respond more consciously, and move from reaction into response more consistently, right? So if you are in a healthy relationship with yourself, then you are going to see when how you're thinking and what you're doing is about reacting or about, which is the surviving self, or about growth and expansion, which is that other full range of you, the thriving and the infinite. Now, with all that said as the groundwork, the most important thing is for you, for each one of us, to begin to tell ourselves the truth. And the way we tell ourselves the truth first is that, and I encourage you to write these four steps down, to first, just write down what happened, what you think happened, what you feel happened, what you experienced. Just write it down. Because if it's a secret, if it holds pain for you, there's a lot in that that is alive that may not be consciously acknowledged. And so if you take a moment to really go back and write what happened, you might begin to see nuances and more of the picture. So what happened? How you felt about what happened? How you felt about what happened is crucial. It's critical. Because I'm going to tell you, if the what happened was something like, my father got remarried, and when I went to him and asked him if he could do this thing, he said he has more people to think about than just me now. Now that's what happened. What I heard, right? Oh, I'm not loved. I don't matter. I'm unimportant. I am a toss away. So there's all there's a there, to acknowledge what happened and acknowledge what you heard, just objectively, is a powerful exercise, right? And then to speak to how that made you feel lets you know how you were listening. And then to ask yourself, what is the benefit at this point in this story? Why do we carry this? Why do we keep this pain so close? What does it give us that we have now become addicted to, or has become part of our identity? Why is this our story? Our precious story. And then the last and the most important thing that we must do in telling ourselves the truth is to tell yourself what is possible. So up until now, this is how it's been, but you don't have the whole story until you know what's possible. You don't have the whole story. You have a lie. And the lie is siphoning off your energy, your life, your light. So you have to invite in the possibility in order to complete the story. You do that work, then you will be in a better position to decide, to determine, to assess, to choose how you tell your story going forward. And I don't say this brusquely at all, but if you get right with yourself and you are telling your story not from the surviving self, because the surviving self is going to, it's going to take you in the direction of blame, attack, argument, againstness, judgment, manipulation. And so you'll be telling your story from that place with the agenda of proving that your pain was caused by somebody else in an unjustified way. And you'll be using your story to justify the hurt that you are going to do to others. But if you tell your story from a whole place, then your story is your victory, and the people who don't appreciate your having told your truth need to get in alignment with themselves.
Right. So good. But a thousand things I want to say, but I see another hand up, so I want to make sure we get to everybody before we run out of time. Stacy, did you want to come off of? Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. I'm sorry, I'm hoarse getting over this worldwide flu sickness, whatever it's going around. I'm just grateful to be here. I'm grateful to Tracy. She texted me and said, you would be blessed. And so I've been so blessed. But quickly, thank you, Miss Tina, is it?
Tina is good.
And those ladies who shared that I was able to listen to very quickly, I wrote in my notes. So I'm gonna disclose something. I'm just gonna do it. So in the past 2 months, I left my husband, right? Of We've been together for 18 years. We've been married for 16. It's my second marriage, his second marriage. Anyway, not gonna get all into that, but this is all in and I'm feeling a whole bunch of shame, a whole bunch of guilt. You can guess why I'm feeling guilty, but this whole telling myself the truth part, I'm also a therapist, but I'm a school counselor, so I don't get to do the therapy a lot. But this is the first time. So I have friends who have said, "I'm proud of you." I'm like, "Why would you be proud of me? The thing I did, and now this I did." And they're like, "Because you're finally listening to your voice. You're finally valuing you." And he didn't, and all of this, blah blah blah. And I'm a Christian, and so it's messing totally with my faith. But I hate to say, this is the beginning of my breakthrough right here on this call. Let me, and it's because I've been allowing him and another person. I'm still in this people pleasing mode where Stacy has to be perfect in everyone else's eyes, and so I have lost me. And I know that's a cliche, but I'm not even lost. I don't know if I've ever known who I truly am and what I truly want and what my voice is. But what you all have said will allow me to start my journaling process. Because even being a therapist, I don't even know how to pick up a pen and what I'm gonna say. But I'm gonna start with crew, with CREWW. Because I didn't wanna. And I'm going to start from this situation and move backwards because I know that the inner child, that the stuff that happened when I was a child, absolutely, my parents fighting, my father just beating my mom's behind, even though I loved him dearly. He's this attorney, this voice in the community, but this conflict of what you're doing at home to my mother that I always had. So how did I, feel about what happened? Lastly, I want to tell myself what's possible. Like you said, what is my lie? I have no idea. I really don't know. Sure, I can say, "Oh, I feel that I'm not worthy," and all of that. And okay, but there's got to be something deeper. I'm 57 years old. There's got to be something to. I'm in another fellowship, and so I've done a whole bunch of work and change in my life. But this. What I did with here in this last month, this is surreal for me. I'm like this little wife that's been, before my marriage, running the streets and doing all of that. But these last 18 years, I've been this stewardess at church, singing in the choir. He's also just family, just all of these perfect things. And now what? Who is this person? So, oh, I truly needed this to start my journey. Yeah, Tracy, we'll be talking. See you at school, but thank you all. Thank you so much. And I'm trusting that God, I know the same God that has always had me still has me, but I need to find him again. I need to find women like you and spaces like this, so that I can get to work. But to thine own self be true. And so, that's where I'm at. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
That's exciting, Stacey. It's exciting. And Kelly, you at the very beginning, talked about forgive yourself,
That's
right?
right.
Right. And
Absolutely.
so, Stacey, there's a forgiveness exercise that it's in the book. It's in the Inner Fitness Revolution. And it talks about forgiving yourself for seeing yourself as. A lot of times when we forgive ourselves for being whatever, for being whatever, for being judgmental, for being mean, unfaithful or disloyal or whatever it might be, right? And when we forgive ourselves for being this thing, what we do is we label ourselves as that lie. And the more accountable thing to do is to forgive ourselves for judging ourselves in ways that disconnect us from ourselves. It is the disconnection from self that creates all of the problems. And so, right? So when we begin to really honor the self inside of us, we begin to be on the journey of well-being. And forgiveness becomes the act of forgiving ourselves for embracing, for taking on, for believing anything that distorts our whole sense of self, that goes against our crew. Does that make sense?
Yes, it makes more than sense. It's so powerful, and
Yes.
And that felt like a full circle, Kelly, because you asked about talking about forgiving oneself, and then Stacy
yes,
gave us this great
a
opportunity.
beautiful example. That was perfect and so perfect. Thank you for sharing your truth and knowing that this is a safe space. So thank you, thank you, thank you. I cannot believe an hour has gone by. It flew by. I want to share a few things this morning. Tina, I've shared before, but Tina's current book that's been out, The Little Book of Big Lies, is available on Amazon. Taj is holding it up. It's a yellow book. It has really, I've read it no less than 10 times, and I've listened to it on Audible. And I've marked it up and put stickies throughout it, and it really is life-changing. So I strongly recommend it. Other people are holding it up as well. So yes, if you
Yeah,
don't have
Timothy.
it,
Hey, Timothy.
yes, Timothy, please purchase that book. The link is in the chat. It's on Amazon, The Little Book of Big Lies. And then Tina's new book is called The Inner Fitness Revolution, Your Journey to Joy and Freedom. And that is coming out on March 11th. That link is also in the chat. And we really want to, if you go to the innerfitnessproject.com, you can sign up for Tina's mailing list, which, as Tracy, I think, mentioned, is powerful. And all kinds of incredible, wonderful events happen there. And also, you can pre-order the book also on Amazon. Tina, please. Yes,
Kelly,
please. Yes.
so here's a thought.
Yes.
If at least 10 people from your community pre-order the Inner Fitness Revolution today, and I would say even like now, if 10 people
Yes.
order, then I will come back and I will do an inner fitness session for your group.
Yes.
Meaning the entire group, right?
Amazing.
You know, whomever you curate. Now, I'm going to say this again. And if you pre-order the book, if at least 10 people pre-order the book,
Yes.
everybody's going to benefit. But
Amazing.
are you going to be the person who hopes that 10 other people pre-order, or are you going to be the person who pre-orders to confirm or support everybody getting a free inner fitness hour?
That's amazing. Can I ask a question? Is it best to order it on Amazon or is it best to sign up on your website and then order?
So it's best for what I just said. If you go to the innerfitnessproject.com/book,
Yes. And
right?
I put that in the link in the chat as well. The innerfitnesspproject.com/book.
That's right. And you will need to give us your receipt number. So when you order, they're going to give you an order number. Give us that order number. And Kelly, when we get 10 or more, I will let you know. Or
Awesome.
you can, yeah.
And I think we have some people from last week that we know that are part of our community that purchased as well. So we'll keep track of that because people are putting in the chat, I bought last week, I bought last week, or I bought when you were here last. So we probably have the 10, which would be amazing to have you do it. I have experienced Tina. We've been working together for 3 years and it has been life-changing. And the 14 practices that Tina delves into in the new book are life-changing. And I say that from I'm being very truthful and honest and had a lot of forgiveness to do, a lot of challenges to work through. I still am working through it, but the transformation is real and powerful. I feel it and I can see it. So I encourage everybody to work with Tina and to get the book. Go ahead, Tina. Were you going to say something?
Everyone can see it in you, Kelly. It,
I
you don't
know.
just feel it. Everyone can see it in you.
It's
You are,
incredible.
yeah, you are transforming. And I was gonna say, love that the other people purchased weeks ago, but this is for today. So
Okay.
it needs to be 10 people out of your community,
Yes.
and then we can go forward. And I would just like to say, you know, someone asked me what the difference between therapy and inner fitness is. And
Yes.
I'd just like to make sure that you know what the difference is, because my focus is inner fitness, right?
Yes.
Therapy is a lot like a surgeon. You know, if you break your leg, you need a doctor. And you need a professional to be able to help you set that leg and get strong. So, therapy is a responsive therapy. It responds to events and breakages, you know, trauma and mental disorders and navigating pain. Inner fitness. It is a preventative and a strengthening and a maintenance lifestyle. It gives you the kind of orientation to yourself that strengthens you to meet the challenges of life as they arise, to navigate the challenges of life as you meet them. So, we're about strengthening, preventative, you know, I forgot my third one. But yeah, so that's the difference, right? Maintenance, strengthening, maintaining, and and preventative work. That's what we do.
Yes. And
And we
it's
focus on
real. Oh,
the
go
self.
ahead.
Sorry, I'm sorry. And we focus
No, no.
on you knowing that there is a self inside of you. And
Yes.
all of this external focus in life does not reach the deepest part of you. And
That's right.
oh, you must nurture the self. And to even know your higher power, you must know yourself, because your higher power gets to you through yourself.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, well, I could talk all day, as you know, but I want to be cognizant of time. It's 10:06 Eastern. I really am so grateful for you and for this entire community this morning. Dr. Vicky is on a cruise. I'm going to close us out in a prayer. But I will just say, as we depart, thank you so much for this 5 years. This journey has been incredible. I know I've helped myself, and I know so many of us have been helped by speakers like Tina and others who generously donate their time to be with us. So I'm really very grateful in this moment and in this space today, February 23rd, 2025. I will close this out with a prayer. Thank you for grabbing the book. I see people said they bought it, the new book, and also the old book. The old book, which is still a favorite of mine, if not my all-time favorite. So please get both books, and then Tina will follow up and schedule a sunrise session, probably in an evening, so people on the West Coast don't have to get up at 6 in the morning. So we'll do that at some point in March. And I will close us out in a prayer right now. So thank you again for being here. Thank you, God, for giving us this beautiful space this morning and for our 5th year. 5 years of the Sunrise Project. Thank you for holding this sacred space for love, for compassion, for healing. Thank you so much, Tina Lifford, for being here with us this morning to help us start and continue our inner fitness journeys. Help us learn to tell ourselves the truth and practice telling what we feel and what is possible. Help us learn to forgive ourselves and for others. Help us to choose an empowering response in any situation, and help us to practice Chapter 4 of the first book. Up until now and from this point forward, anything is possible. Please guide our steps today and all week and all month and always, and help us learn to feel so we can really start to heal. God bless Tina Lifford and the Inner Fitness Project. Help her sell millions and millions of books so she can transform lives like she has transformed mine. Help us again learn to love ourselves and learn to thrive and not only survive. We trust you, God, today and always, and no matter what is going on in our lives is overcomable. And with all praise and power given to you, we thank you so much. Amen.
Oh, man.
Thank you, Tina, for being here. Happy
Thank
5th anniversary, and have a beautiful, powerful, and productive day, everyone. Bye.